Until 8:30, you're with Ross Stevenson and Dean Banks.
Minutes past eight. Well, the ABC, in its fine tradition last night, put together a Four Corners program that they decided to run on a Monday night when it was of most interest to Victorians, and it was bumper to bumper with the Brownlow presentation. Thus, we can presume that when the ratings came out this morning, a little after nine, that the figures will be down for Four Corners, but certainly high for the other program.
I suspect they might be reasonably healthy for Four Corners, also given its material last night, which contained fresh allegations made by a former press secretary to Alan Stockdale and a former, well, I don't know, former business editor with the Herald Sun or just on extended leave. His name's Stephen Mayne. He joins us on the line. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning.
What did you feel you revealed last night on last night's program that we didn't already know?
Oh, just a little bit about the extent of the Premier's interest in the stock market. I mean, literally every day he was focused on it. I guess some details about how Mrs. Kennett's Guangdong investment happened, the fact that that Mr. Kennett first had a verbal agreement with the underwriter for a 20,000 share allocation, and then subsequently, after the verbal agreement, made a second application, which in spite of the verbal agreement, was partially successful. So there was that element to it. And then I guess the role of Laurie Cox, the former Stock Exchange and Potter Warburg chairman and current Transurban chairman, in Mrs. Kennett's investment in the garden products group Yates, in which Mr. Kennett rang Laurie and asked him for some shares and was given some shares, or was Laurie said, gave him a firm commitment to have some shares.
The irony of the revelation, of course, is that was your advice to him.
Well, that's right. I mean, he sort of asked me who was the underwriter, and I sort of just, you know, clearly the question was coming as to how else could I get some shares, and I guess I just anticipated that. But certainly I felt very uncomfortable about that at the time. As you say, I was, you know, partly drawn into the whole thing.
Is it something that you've had on your conscience for a few years?
Yeah, that's right. It's something that I've wrestled with. I took a couple of steps when I was there at the time. I did raise it with his top advisor shortly after the call went into Laurie, that it perhaps wasn't appropriate to be calling underwriters of floats from his office. And
well, call it for us, Stephen. In your capacity as a business editor with the Herald Sun, is it improper?
Well, put it this way, I don't believe that Mrs. Kennett would have got that investment in either Guangdong or Yates if she wasn't married to the Premier. And I think particularly in the case of Yates, I actually did ring up, as I said, Joe Public, and was told that I couldn't get them. And most of the small investors, or many of the small investors in Guangdong, were cut back to 3,000 shares. And even the TAC and WorkCover, which sort of managed between them 7 billion funds for you know, taxpayers and insurers in Victoria, even they were cut back to 50,000 shares in Guangdong. So it was extraordinary to have a institution with $4 billion of assets getting the same allocation as an individual.
Surely a man of conscience such as yourself, Stephen, would have said something to the Premier at the time.
Well, I raised it with his top advisor. I mean, very difficult. But the Premier's a very, very strong personality.
If he's seeking your advice on one hand and accepting your advice, surely you felt like you're in a position of strength to be able to say, well, listen, Premier, it is also my advice that you shouldn't be doing this.
Well, I mean, there was another individual in the room at the time, particularly with the Guangdong, when the Guangdong calls went into Bruce Matheson and Richard Lee, and I felt uncomfortable, and afterwards I raised my concerns with that other individual in the room, and he told me that he had already spoken to the Premier about this with the clear implication that it wouldn't happen again.
And it's hardly your job to be giving the Premier a lesson in business ethics, is it?
No, it's not really my job at all. I was sitting
and
there
with... You assume that he's a big boy who can make his own decisions.
But if you're paid as an advisor, it's a question of advice, surely.
You're not a share advisor for him, Stephen, were you?
Well, I did have a sort of background in shares, and we had this common interest. And I mean, I was you know, a mere press secretary. I think I was 23 at the time. I was sort of quite wide-eyed and in awe of sort of the Premier and his incredibly strong personality, and it was sort of a very difficult thing to actually give him really hard, honest advice to his face, saying this shouldn't happen. So I did what I thought was the appropriate course, which was to raise it with his top advisor.
Did you discuss it at any time with Alan Stockdale?
No, I didn't. I just raised it with his number one advisor, who was there at the time.
And you kept it as a confidence because you were working in the office?
Yeah, I just didn't think that it was sort of relevant to sort of raise it with Alan. I raised it with the person I thought was appropriate to raise it with, and he said it wouldn't happen again, and that was that.
You must have known that by choosing to disclose it to Four Corners, you were going to put yourself in the firing line for a pretty vicious personal attack from the Premier, and that has already looked like it started to come your way. Why make that sort of difficulty for yourself?
Well, Four Corners approached me earlier in the year saying they were doing a story on Mr. Kennett, and asked me if I wanted to discuss some of these things. And I watched the share debate last year, which came out after the Today Tonight program. And I was very interested in some of the public claims that were made at the time, given the things that I had seen in there myself firsthand. And I thought that there were some significant gaps that were certainly of public interest. Four Corners approached me. I've got a lot of respect for Four Corners and for the journalist Sally Neighbour. And the other factor in it was that I was heading off, sort of travelling and leaving Melbourne. So
why wouldn't you write the story for the Herald Sun?
Well, I sort of felt that it was not going to be appropriate to be both source and author. I just thought that it was something that was quite significant, and it needed just to go to an independent outlet, someone else. Sort of away from my employer, paper, who could sort of check it and verify it and legal it independently.
You seem to be both source and author when you wrote about matters dealing with Mr. Stockdale's office.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I haven't ever written stories where I've said for firsthand what happened. I this and I that, and I saw this and I saw that. I've never done that before.
Tell us, are you surprised that the Four Corners story ends up on page one of the Age today and page two of the Herald, sir?
Oh, no, I think it's more an Age sort of issue, isn't it? I mean, they've got more space. I mean, the Brownlow's the obvious story of the day, I think.
The obvious story today. Has it... what do you expect is going to happen from here?
Well, I hope that there is a sort of a fulsome debate in the media about some of the principles involved here, and about some of the other aspects that float around. I mean, there's one thing that I certainly would be fascinated to know the answer to, and that's, I think the Premier's family got a 17,000 share allocation in the Seven Network float. Now, I was in there at the time. I knew that he had secured this float, this allocation, early in the piece. And most members of the public couldn't get that. Now, I would be fascinated, and I think it would be very interesting in the context of what we know about Yates and Guandong, for the Premier to disclose how his family, I think, got a $34,000 allocation in Seven and subsequently enjoyed, I think it was something like a $14,000 profit in that.
Stay with us, Stephen, just for a moment. This is not ambush. We've just had Bruce Matheson call in, Chairman of Sino Securities. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, how are you?
Good, you moved to call us for what reason?
Well, what Stephen is saying is completely wrong. Jeff Kennett never, ever rang me about getting shares in Guandong. I'm sorry about my voice, but I got a bad cold.
Did anybody on his behalf ring you?
No.
I thought I understood from seeing the story last night, Bruce, that he actually rang a Mr. Lee, did he not?
He might have rang a Mr. Lee, but he never, ever, ever spoke to me about getting shares in Guandong.
Just hold there, Bruce. Stephen, what do you say to that?
Bruce, was on the speakerphone. You were out at the Shopping Town Hotel, the same place we had lunch a few months ago, and I heard it. I heard it all. And he rang you first in the office in South Yarra. Was told that you were out at the Shopping Town Hotel on your mobile. He then called you on your mobile, and you had a conversation on various matters, which I think Four Corners, for legal reasons, chose not to go into. And then you told him to ring Richard Lee, who could arrange some shares in the Guandong float.
What do you say about that, Bruce?
Not correct.
Not, so you're calling...
He never, ever spoke to me about buying shares in Guangdong personally to me.
Was it?
And he might have rang Mr. Richard Lee and so forth, but he never spoke to me personally about it.
Well, he did ring Richard Lee on your advice, Bruce. It was on the speakerphone and I heard him do it.
I don't know, you could hear him on a speaker bloody phone.
Well, he put the phone on speakerphone and then he rang you.
Well, he had a conversation with you about some very interesting things. I can tell you, he never spoke to me about buying Guangdong shares.
I'll be interesting to see what the Premier says about that, and we're interested to see what the other person in the room would say about that, because it's as clear as day that's exactly what happened, and I at the time didn't know who you were. Didn't know significance in the scale of your poker machine operations, and I
don't have anything to do with the day-to-day and allocation of shares in any of the companies we float, so there was no pointless in talking to me about it.
Well, that may be true. I'm not saying you allocated the shares, I'm saying the Premier called you.
Well, I'm telling
the Premier,
you.
The Premier called you at the Shopping Town Hotel on your mobile.
I spoke to the Premier on my mobile, whether it was the Shopping Town or not, I don't know. But all I'm saying is that he never, and I never ever, because I never get involved in that sort of thing with the floats in the company, because it's all allocated and done through the Office of Sino Securities.
Yes, that's, I mean, you didn't commit to give him some shares, but you said if you want to get some shares, well, the man to ring is Richard Lee, and he subsequently, instantly after that, called Richard Lee and had the conversation as partly revealed on Four Corners last night.
Well, as I say, I've never spoke to the Premier in my mind ever.
Well,
I've got a pretty good memory because I do a lot of business.
Well, I thought you said you just might have spoken to the Premier on your mobile.
I've spoken to the Premier a few times on my mobile.
Oh, okay.
About this particular issue because. I just think it's a joke, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I noticed the ABC never put anything on about, it wasn't my car last night, it wasn't me driving the damn car or anything like that. I mean, they left out all the bits that were completely false. And I mean, the whole thing is just a joke, in my opinion.
So,
but anyway, I'll do my piece.
Bruce, you're effectively calling Stephen a liar. Is that what you said earlier?
Well, put it this way, as far as I'm concerned, as I said before, I have never spoke to the Premier about him and myself as a conversation in purchasing shares in any company that Sino Security has floated, and that's it, full stop, because I don't get involved in it. I never have and I never will. And that's as simple as that, so you can read that any way you like.
Well, Bruce, I'll tell you one other thing that you actually discussed was, I think when the Premier called you, you said hello, and then you actually raised the issue of poker machine policy. Yeah, it was just a flippant, not a flippant, but it was just a single question. You asked, what's the situation going to be with poker machines in light of in relation to the casino?
What do you say about that, Bruce?
Well, geez, he must have an unbelievable memory, this bloke.
No,
I mean, I can't remember.
Clear as day, Bruce.
Why would I worry about what the casino's got?
Well, I think about a week and a half earlier, the government had awarded the casino license, and right through this three-week period, they were making policy decisions about...
I couldn't care less if the casino had 5, 10,000, or what. I think the casino's the best thing since sliced bread to come to the state.
Oh,
I'll tell you what, Bruce.
I've got no problem. Why would I worry about that? That's just an absolute joke.
Bruce, we'll give you an opportunity when you get your voice back to come and have a chat.
Again, I just wanted to make that point. I've never spoke to anyone about shares in any company that we have issued from Sino Securities. Okay.
Thanks for ringing in, Bruce.
No worries, bye.
Bruce Matheson joining us on the line. And Stephen Mayne, you mentioned a third man in the office. Would you care to name that person?
Alistair Drysdale,
uh-huh.
Who was at the time was the government, was the Premier's, the title was Special Advisor. He was the top advisor and he was also the Premier's specific advisor on gambling. And I think he now works for Tattersall's.
Stephen, thanks for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
And when are you returning to the pages of the Herald Sun?
I think I'm writing something tomorrow's pages just on some of the ethical issues around this, and I'm then heading up to Sydney probably at the end of the week. So, although it's probably going to be with one of the sister papers, so there may be some sort of odd story that appears.
Stephen, thanks for your time.
Pleasure.